To relate means to communicate. And four, the ways in which I relate to the order are simply the different means I employ to communicate with order members, both individually and collectively. My principal means of communication is the spoken and written word, as when I talk to you, whether live or on tape, or write a letter or an article. That I am unable to communicate by means of visual images or musical notes is one of my limitations. The other means I employ to communicate with order members are, of course, non-verbal. But inasmuch as I make much less use of them than I do of the spoken and written word, I shall say nothing about them until I have spelled out the different forms taken by the spoken and written word as I communicate with you through that medium. Communication by means of the spoken word takes the form of personal talks, public lectures, interviews, question and answer sessions, and study seminars, all of which can be, and except for personal talks usually are, recorded on tape. These tape recordings can be transcribed and edited and even published in book form, which brings me to a point I would have mentioned on the convention had not an indisposition prevented me from addressing you. Due mainly to the devoted labors of the transcription unit, more than half the many hundreds of thousands of words spoken by me over the years as I gave lectures and led seminars have been transcribed and made available in unedited form. But not more than a hundredth part, my own rough estimate, of the words transcribed have been edited and published in book form, however inadequately. Hundreds of thousands of words remain untranscribed and therefore unedited and unpublished. Transcribed or untranscribed, collectively these words, the result of 200 lectures and 120 seminars, represent an enormous amount of material. They represent, in fact, an enormous amount of Dharma teaching, even an enormous amount of translation. And since to teach is to communicate, they also represent a communication. They are a communication not just to the audience or study group to which they were originally addressed, but also, in principle, to order members, mitras, and friends everywhere. But communication cannot be unilateral. Unless you hear me, I cannot really speak to you. Unless you open and read my letters, I cannot really write to you. I would therefore like my lectures and seminars to be accessible to as many order members, mitras, and friends as possible, and to be accessible to them in book form. Listening to tapes and reading unedited transcripts presents obvious difficulties, especially in the case of seminars. This means that these lectures and seminars will have to be edited and properly published. We already have a small but heroic band of transcribers, the end of whose work is already in sight. What we now need is a bigger and even more heroic band of editors and publishers. I therefore appeal to all potential editors and publishers to come forward and offer your services so that a work to which we ought to be giving a very high priority can be taken up without further delay and carried to a successful conclusion. Personal letters apart, communication by means of the written word takes the form of books. As of this present, I have 17 books in print, and by the end of the year may well have 20. Only one of the 17 is a bona fide book, in the sense of having been conceived and written as a book, as well as published as such. Not all that glitters is gold. Not all that appears between covers is a book. The others are either collections of essays, articles, and so on, or versions of three or more lectures, or some of the chapters of a book, the other chapters having been removed at the instance of the publisher, or contributions to encyclopedias. Even the survey, which some of my friends consider my magnum opus, despite its 500 pages in the original edition, was written up from the notes of four lectures. The only book I have actually conceived and written as a book and had published as a book is Ambedkar and Buddhism, which for this and other reasons occupies a special place in my affections. But whether conceived and written as a book or not, like my transcribed and untranscribed lectures and seminars, the 17 books that I have in print represent a communication by means of the written word. They are communication not just to the readership for which they were originally intended, in the case of those published when I was living in India, but also in principle to order members, mitras, and friends everywhere. They are particularly a communication to order members, for it is order members who, by virtue of their going for refuge, are able to understand me best, even in the case of those books that were written prior to the founding of the order. Two of my more recent publications, namely The 10 Pillars of Buddhism and The History of My Going for Refuge, were of course written as papers to be read on order day, and as such are a direct communication to order members. Recent or not recent, however, all my books represent a communication and, in principle at least, a communication to you. I would like you to receive that communication. In other words, I would like you to read my books and to read them thoroughly, whether in the original English or in translation. This reminds me that in addition to a heroic band of editors and publishers, we need a heroic band of translators. Order members and others sometimes wish they had more contact with me. May I remind you that there is a great deal of me in my books, though not as much as I would like, and that when you read my books, you are very much in contact with me. At this point, I would like to put in a good word for the Cinderella of my writings, that is, my poetry. Not that I expect you all to like my poetry. I am well aware that it can be characterized as traditional, neo-Georgian, and academic. Though even as unacademic a person as Allen Ginsberg once assured me that in his view, academic as applied to poetry was by no means a term of disparagement. But regardless of how my poetry is to be characterized, even regardless of whether it is really poetry, like all my writings, the poems collected in The Enchanted Heart and Conquering New Worlds represent a communication by means of the written word, and particularly a communication to order members. I would therefore like you to read my poetry, even to read it again and again. In my poetry, too, there is a great deal of me, perhaps more than there is in some of my prose writings, at least in certain respects. When you read my poetry, you are not only very much in contact with me, but in contact with me in a special kind of way. As I wrote in the preface to The Enchanted Heart, after acknowledging that not all the poems appearing in that collection were necessarily worth preserving as poetry, many of them, if not the majority, have only a biographical, even a sentimental interest. They give expression to passing moods and fancies, as well as to deeper experiences and insights. They also reflect my response to my surroundings. As such, they constitute a sort of spiritual autobiography, sketchy indeed, but perhaps revealing, or at least suggesting, aspects of my life which would not otherwise be known. There now remains only the non-verbal means I employ to communicate with order members. I make much less use of these than I do of the spoken and written word, as I have already observed, and it is perhaps for this reason that I feel I cannot really say much about them. Perhaps the non-verbal means of communication should be dealt with non-verbally. Be that as it may, I do not, I think, make use of non-verbal means of communication in quite the same conscious and deliberate way that I make use of the spoken and written word, and may not always realize that I have made use of them until my attention is drawn to the fact. Some of you have told me that there are times when a response to a question or a remark with a significant silence, or a non-committal or a slight raising of the eyebrows. Apparently, this can be quite disconcerting. But I have verbalized enough about non-verbal means of communication and will now go on to speak about my last heap of thoughts on the subject of my relation to the order. That is, I would go on to speak about it, did it not suddenly strike me that in speaking about the non-verbal means I employ to communicate with order members and others, I have been guilty of a serious omission. No, I'm not thinking of picture postcards, the visual message of which sometimes supplements the verbal message. I'm thinking of film and video. Not that I'm going to say anything about film and video. It is only quite recently that I have reluctantly acknowledged their existence and the possibility of my employing them as a means of communication. A means of communication which is simultaneously verbal and non-verbal, or both verbal and visual.